Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I am excited about this week's show. I'll be joined by Holly Beckman. Holly is the Vice President of Marketing and Leasing Operations at WC Smith in Washington, D.C. Holly also runs Apartminty, which is a company that helps match tenants to rental properties. And in this interview, we discuss how Holly and her team generate new business from social media by putting their clients first, including an initiative on Twitter that led to $150,000 in revenue. Holly and her team are really doing some amazing things in social media, and there's plenty of takeaways in this episode that you can try in your own business. But before we catch up with Holly, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Real Estate Dynamics, the industry leaders in property management training, consulting, and rent roll and agency brokerage. Find them at realestatedynamics.com.au.
Now, something every real estate business owner knows these days is the importance of their rent roll and the potential value it can provide to their business. But they're all asking the same question: how do we grow it? How do we go about rent roll growth in the most effective and productive way? Well, our friends at Real Estate Dynamics have put together a great free ebook called Rent Roll Growth and Profit. And what you'll find in this ebook is strategies around the two types of rent roll growth, what determines the multiplier of a rent roll, and the top five reasons a landlord will decide to change property managers. So if you do have a rent roll in your real estate business, I encourage you to go and download this free guide at realestatedynamics.com.au/resources/ebooks. So realestatedynamics.com.au/resources/ebooks. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our featured guest today, Holly Beckman. Holly is the Vice President of Marketing and Leasing Operations at WC Smith in Washington, D.C. Holly also runs Apartminty, which is a resource for helping people look for apartments to rent. Holly, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a minute, tell us a little more about you personally, and then give us an overview of your business.
Sure. I've been in real estate for about 15 years. I started almost right out of college. I was briefly in sales and marketing for an NBA sports team, and then quickly hopped into real estate. My sister does luxury real estate, and I just found it all fascinating, but realized I liked a little bit more of the marketing side than I liked really being out and about in the field. So I quickly transitioned to marketing and out of the day-to-day sales move. And I work for a company here in DC. I've been with them about 5 years. And after looking at all of the processes, decided to start my own company dealing directly with matching up apartment hunters and landlords.
Fantastic. And for the basketball fans among our listeners, which NBA team did you work for?
I worked for the Orlando Magic.
Which is Shaquille O'Neal, right?
Way back in the day, yes.
Yeah. Very cool. And something that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago when we first caught up, Holly, was you refer to what you do now as very much like a dating service for tenants, matching tenants with apartments. Can you explain for our listeners a little more around what you mean by that?
Sure. We've been described a couple of times as the eHarmony of apartment hunting. And it really comes down to we take a very, very, very personalized approach to the whole process, where we get down to the nitty gritty of it, what the apartment hunter is looking for, including their exact move-in date, style of apartment they're looking for, price, everything. And here in the U.S., everyone works on the same availability feed. So we're able to look at all of our different landlord customers, what they have available, and match that up to our prospect and what they're looking for. So instead of delivering hundreds of results to our prospects, they maybe only see three or four matches that are going to work for them.
Fantastic. So just break that, if we just break that down for a minute, the same availability feed, meaning that pretty much anyone and everyone's got the listing, right? Is that, did I understand that right?
Pretty much. There's four or five different property management systems that most landlords in the US use, and they all give an availability feed, meaning, you know, pricing of the apartments or the rent roll of the apartments to all of the different advertising sources.
Gotcha.
So typically, if you're searching on any given internet listing site, you're going to get a list of 200, 300, 400 apartments in any given city.
Wow.
But they might not match your exact criteria. We just dug a little bit deeper into the data.
Gotcha. Yeah. And another thing we spoke about a few weeks ago was the difference between the Australian and the US real estate markets. And I think we were both equally blown away at some of the differences, particularly relating to property management. Can you explain for our listeners the makeup of the properties that you manage? How many properties does WC Smith look after and who owns them?
Sure. WC Smith, we're only here in Washington, D.C. We have about 89 properties and there's 10,000 apartment units. We also own a couple of commercial buildings, office spaces, and shopping plazas. We own about 60% of our apartment communities, and then we fee manage the other 40%.
Okay, and fee manage, you mean someone else owns, an investor owns the property and you're taking a percentage of the rent to manage the property on their behalf, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so for our listeners here in Australia, that's the model that we have here, Holly, and not there's not many businesses, to my knowledge, that actually own the properties themselves. And I think that's a big difference between the Australian and US markets is you put the value of the business on the properties that the company owns, right? And over here, it's very much on the rent roll. So the value of the business, of a real estate business, is in the properties that they manage and the value that provides to the business. Whereas over there, you've got 10,000 residential properties, you mentioned, right?
Yes.
And the company owns 60% of those residential properties.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So a very, very, very different model compared to Australia. I think it's fascinating. I did meet someone at Inman in San Francisco last year who bought a real estate business in Hawaii and had 1,000 properties under management. And he said, oh, look, when we started the business, I just got rid of them. And I said, look, did you sell those properties or the rent roll, so to speak? And he said, no, we handed the keys back to the owners. So 1,000 properties, and he handed all of them back to the owners just for the simple fact they didn't want to do property management in their business. And over here, that is just, I think any real estate business owners in Australia that had that happen here, their jaws would drop. It just wouldn't happen. But that's the value of their business. But but Holly, something else that really stood out in when we first spoke was a particular property that you have. You were telling me about you've got a resident dog that has taken to social media in a big way. Can you tell our listeners what that's all about?
Sure. DC is a very competitive market. There are new communities opening all the time. And so we had a luxury community building that was opening. It was about 300 apartment homes, but it was in a neighborhood where in three square blocks, there were five other apartment communities opening the same month that we did. So there was about 1,500 units to rent. And, you know, basically all of the amenity packages were the same. So it's just looking for a way to differentiate our building. And honestly, one day I was just sitting at a cafe and this lady outside was walking her English bulldog puppy by and people were running across the street, almost getting hit by cars to go pet this dog. And it was my aha moment that like everyone loves these little bulldog puppies. So I decided that I also wanted one and I'm too busy. I work all the time. I can't have a dog full time, but wouldn't it be amazing if the apartment community actually had a bulldog puppy that you could go play with, but then, you know, leave at the leasing office and you didn't have to care for or worry about vet bills or walking or feeding. So we bought Emmy and she lives with the property manager who lives there on site, but she is in the leasing office every day. And the other puppies that live at the community, as well as just any resident, can come and play with her in the leasing office, or there's a dog park right there on site that they can play with her there as well. and she's been a hit. She has about 1,800 followers on Instagram.
Wow. Wow. And what's her name? Sorry.
It's Emmy. Her handle on Twitter or Instagram is 2mpup.
Okay. And how does Emmy feel that she was a pawn in your game and to get new people attracted to the apartment
she's
building?
She's a ham. She loves the attention every second of it. And she won't let anyone leave the office without petting her. So.
And what was the result after getting the puppy along and really building an audience around Emmy? How fast did it fill up?
Unbelievable. We've only been open about 5 months now. We're 70% occupied.
Wow.
And we were picked up by the Huffington Post, Daily Mail, Washington Post, The Today Show, Good Morning America. Like, it's funny. If you have something to talk about, people love it and they want to chat about it. It was all free advertising for us.
Nice work. Congratulations. And how did that compare to some of the other apartment buildings? You were saying there was a few others opening up. How are they going?
The biggest difference is that we haven't offered a single concession. So a lot of times in competitive markets, you'll have communities giving maybe the first month of rent away. In this market, they were giving 2 months free away. We haven't given away a dollar.
So
we're getting our market rents.
That's really interesting. I think in Australia, we have a big problem, especially in property management, of fee discounting and people discounting fees to win the listing or even to get more so landlords, not so much tenants. Sometimes tenants, they'll give away a week's free rent here and there. But I don't think I've ever seen anyone in Australia really, a French bulldog in their apartment building to attract tenants. I just think it's fascinating, Holly. I think it'll blow everyone away. But something I'd like our listeners to really absorb is your approach to marketing and generally how you go about social media across the board. So can we start by you giving us a bird's eye view of how you view social media in real estate and why you believe it's important that people in real estate look at it this way?
Sure. I think regardless of your industry, real estate or not, you need to be wherever your customers are. And social media has really become the place that people are having conversations and communing. You know, they're not necessarily all going out to whatever bar or park or whatever, but they are online all the time. And with home being such an emotionally charged, thing, the minute they're looking for a home or they're upset with their home or they're upset with the process of finding a home, they're talking about it. So it's such an easy way to identify people that need help. And, social media becomes that place where you can become instantly relevant to the conversation and be very helpful. So for me, I say again and again and again, the best time to win a customer is when they have their hand raised and they're asking for help. And repeatedly, it has been the process online that was the quickest way. I saw someone that was frustrated. I jumped into a conversation, offered a piece of advice, and won them over.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I can thank our mutual friend Jay Bayer for introducing us, Holly, because without his book Utility for Real Estate, our little country probably wouldn't have had the chance to learn about all the cool things you're doing. But one of the things you're doing that really caught my attention was the results you achieved from spending only about 10 to 20 minutes a day on Twitter helping tenants find rental properties. Can you delve into this example that Jay used in his book, what you're doing there and the results that you've achieved?
Yeah, sure. Again, it all started out of a theory of what I was just talking about, that people are talking about this frustration of finding apartments. And so the first thing I did was actually just set up TweetDeck and started listening to conversations that people were having. And for instance, a big phrase that I noted over and over again is the phrase apartment hunting sucks. And it was coming up almost once a minute in conversation. So I just started, listening in on the conversations, taking note of the direction of where the conversations went. And then from that, I actually first just wrote some blog posts about the things that people were asking. If it was about moving to DC and how do I find an apartment community, I kind of listed out the steps there. If it was, I need an affordable or a rent-controlled apartment, I kind of directed the blog post to that. And after I had some content built on my blog, then I went back and started jumping into conversations. And so it was an 8-week trial initially that my boss gave me the leeway to try. And in that, I was able to actually get or win 6 leases. So people went from chatting on Twitter and me jumping into a conversation to them actually signing a 12-month lease. Our average rents here in DC are about $2,000 a month. So over the course of the year, that's $150,000 in revenue.
Wow. I think there's so much in there. I'd love to just break it down if we can, Holly.
Sure.
Now, Twitter is not a platform used as much as it is in the States. It's not used as much in Australia as it is in the States. However, so let's just have a look at some of the tools you're using there. You referred to TweetDeck. So for our listeners, just explain what TweetDeck is.
Sure. TweetDeck is a free service. You can pop on and you can really track any conversation or phrase you want to look at. And it's across the board. It's not just people that are following you or people that you're following. It's anyone talking about that topic.
In real time, right?
In real time. So I use it for a number of things. I use it during Twitter chats and different things like that. But you can track conversations. You can actually also follow VIPs, or I call them VIPs, but people you're really trying to target. So if there are certain customers that you're trying to win over, you can follow them specifically and see what conversations they're having.
Fantastic. And some people may think, look, it feels a little bit creepy, right, that we're listening out
it's
to people's
totally
conversations.
Creepy. I'm stalking.
And something – so how do you – what would you say to people saying, look, that is a little bit creepy, a little bit stalkerish, you know, following people's conversations around? What would you say?
You know, as I say in my presentations when I speak about this, it's not stalking, it's research. People are putting the information out there on a very public forum. And when people are asking for help, which typically is any complaint, right, is just them voicing a concern because they need help and they don't know how to get it. They are stoked when someone steps up and says, I can help you.
Right. And so essentially what you're really doing is really only chiming into those conversations when it feels natural enough to do so, right?
Exactly.
And have you had anyone complain about it, or anyone sort of think, or you're a little bit, you know, or even go and check you out somewhere else online first before they contact you? Or
yeah, absolutely. I've had people say, I totally stalked you before I responded to you. But that leads to a really important point, is just making sure that all of your social media profiles reflect who you are and reflect what you do. I have a mention to the fact that I am a locator, you know, and I work in the real estate industry. And I have real photos of me. I don't have company photos. I have real photos of me on all of my bios so that people can see who I am. There's another tool. It's really easy. It's just called About Me. Mm-hmm. And you can actually link it right to your Twitter profile or other social media profiles. But you're allowed to put up whatever you'd like. So if there's, you know, any information you want people to have, it's a really quick way that they can find out what you do.
So with all of this activity that you're proactively looking for on Twitter, what are you posting on your profiles just in general across social media? If you're going in proactively, what are you doing reactively, or what sort of content are you posting on, say, you know, Facebook, or what's your view on other social media platforms for real estate in general?
Yeah. You know, again, it goes back to, I think every platform has some value and it depends where your customers are. But for me, you know, it's Twitter is the most accessible to see conversations that are happening right now because you can see anybody's conversation. Pinterest is an amazing place to visually share your expertise. So we do a lot of posting pictures of moving tips that we have, or really cool features about some of our buildings that our landlords that are our customers. You know, the blog is really crucial for establishing your expertise and being that main point of being helpful to your customer beyond talking about yourself. It's really talking about things for them. And Facebook is awesome for building, in my opinion, your reputation, the behind the scenes insights into who the people are that work for your company. And then more so, and probably the most important, is about your customers and making it about them. I think the best thing that I've seen done is some professional photo shoots of customers in their new homes. And those customers promoted the hell out of that page. And it was really about about a business. It wasn't about them, but because their professional photos were done there, they loved it, shared it with all their friends and family, became an evangelist for the company.
Right. And I think, we see a lot of it over here. I'm sure there's companies that do it in the States as well, Holly, they view Facebook as just a free way to push out their property listings for tenants and buyers. And, they're kind of targeting all markets, right? So if you look at a real estate business, there's four segments that are really going to come in contact with your business. It's tenants, buyers, investors, or sellers, right? And if you're targeting all of those people on social media, I fundamentally believe that you're really targeting no one if that's your approach. The content that if they're just pushing their listings on Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing, what would you say to people that are still doing that sort of thing?
Don't expect to be successful. I would guess that they don't have a high following or a high engagement rate because they're not talking of anything of real interest to someone unless they're specifically looking for a listing. And if they're specifically looking for a listing, they're probably not doing that on Facebook. So I would say, again, it's got to be about your customer and helping them in ways. You're either trying to entertain or trying to be helpful online. I think that's the only two ways you really attract people.
Right, so, right.
And you're the most entertaining. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead, please.
The most entertaining thing to anyone is themselves. Right. So if you can make it about the customer more and more, you're always going to win.
And you were saying just before, your blog is very much a central focus in what you guys do. Do you really use social media to amplify that content to bring them back to your website? Is that your strategy?
Absolutely. So, there's a big content calendar we have behind the scenes, but anytime we write a blog post, as we're writing it, or one of us is writing it, my partner will be either creating visual assets or going and buying visual assets for it. So we have some really strong photos that we're either creating on Canva or some of the Word Swag, some of these other locations, to make sure that we have pictures that we can then post on Facebook, Pinterest, all of Instagram that link back to the blog and pull people right in.
Fantastic. And I guess, it's something that a lot of people say in real estate. Look, we don't have time. We just don't have time for social media. We don't have time to sit here and chime into people's conversations and listen out to how we can help. And we're just too busy. What would you say to people that are really using that as the reason why they're not doing some of the things you're doing?
Right. At the end of the day, it's you're paying that money somewhere. So, time is valuable. Everyone knows that. But an hour a day taken to write a blog and post some pictures and then post to social media isn't really that expensive when you look at the alternative of all of the advertising sources. 10 minutes a day on Twitter to have conversations that result in $150,000 worth of revenue, I think that's a pretty good ROI. I challenge you to show me a better.
Sure. Well, I think that's something that's quite interesting online, especially there's still, real estate businesses in Australia. I'm sure there's companies overseas doing it as well, but very much walking the streets, dropping flyers in letterboxes, knocking on doors and that sort of thing. That stuff, it's pretty hard to measure how many people have opened up a letter you've put in their letterbox, right? It's almost impossible to measure how many, unless they've called you. And it's almost impossible, but Twitter, Facebook, any social media platform, your website, your blog, digital marketing is amazing that you can measure that stuff, right?
Yeah, you can measure it. You can see instantly what's working, what's not working. I'm a huge nerd, so I spend a lot of time looking at the analytics behind it and seeing where our traffic's from. Our number one source, this is not going to surprise you, it's where we spend our time, is Twitter. And we do some pay-per-click, we do some other types of advertising. Twitter's our highest source, and that's followed by Google organic search. So people that have somehow heard our name and typed it in.
Well, let's just sum this up. So for all of the people listening, Holly, that really are looking at social media as a place to, you know, a free advertising platform, a free billboard, if you will, to push their what they do, what is right. your what advice do you have for everyone in real estate listening that when it comes to social media in general?
Like, there's almost six steps, right? First, you have to know where your customer is. And that might be very different for you than it is for me, but I would not, I wouldn't make it a guess or a presumption. I would really go ahead and do the research and find out where they are. You might be surprised how many actually are on Twitter. I'd say listen to the conversations they're having wherever they're happening. And then draw up a content calendar based around those conversations first. You know, it might be as simple as a how-to series on things that first-time home buyers wouldn't really know, you know, like how to clean a gutter or something. It might be as easy as that, but all of those things that they're going to need to know how to do and are searching for already, just be there and be the one that can help them with it. And then create good quality posts from that content. Be consistent. We initially wouldn't go longer than 1 week without posting a blog post, whether or not we got any engagement or not. That's how we started. And, you know, then if you're always building a library, you can always reuse that content. That's the beautiful thing about it. And then most importantly, make it about the customer. Follow them, promote what they're doing, promote their interests, promote their charity, promote their business. You're never going to get hurt by giving something away.
I think there's one extra to add to that, Holly, if I can add one in there, is something that you just said is you measure everything. You look at the analytics behind it. And I'd even add as the next one being measurement, right? And looking at the numbers and repeat. Go back to step one. And I think it's something that people in real estate do. They look at their sales ratios, how many appraisals have I got to how many sales I've made, how many phone calls have I had to how many listing presentations have I made. But they're not looking at their marketing numbers in the same vein. And I think that's a big problem for a lot of real estate businesses, because at the end of the day, there's going to be people like you that are going to be listening to this going, this is where I want to go. What I've done doesn't work. And I'm going to go down this path of creating, you know, knowing where my customer is, listening to them, creating a content calendar, creating quality content, being consistent, making it about the customer. And that takes time. That takes longer than to post your property listings. But they're going to be so far ahead that people that don't make that leap now are going to be left behind, really.
Agree. And, I guess number seven then would be also be patient. One of my favorite quotes is from Warren Buffett, who also happens to be like just one of my favorite entrepreneurs on the planet. And he said, you can't produce a baby in 1 month by getting 9 women pregnant. And it's the truth. You know, it doesn't matter. You can't just be busy on social media for 30 days and expect all of this traffic. You know, you have to take the time and do everything and be patient and then just be consistent and it will happen.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I think there's a few light bulbs going on for our listeners right now, Holly, and they're thinking of all sorts of ways to use social media more creatively from now on, I'm sure. But in your opinion, we've spoken about the steps, and I think really if we just go back over those again. So first one is knowing where your customer is, listening to your customers, creating a content calendar, create quality content from that calendar, be consistent, make it about the customer, and our new addition, measurement, and be patient. So,
yes.
Well, Holly, thank you so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five where I'm going to ask you 5 quick questions and get you to come back with 5 quick answers. But before we do, let's hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from a report published by socialbakers.com, which found that Facebook video posts have overtaken YouTube video posts, meaning videos uploaded directly into Facebook receive more interaction than YouTube links. If you have a focus on video in your business, I think these numbers are a timely reminder to explore how Facebook's video functionality can help improve your results. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop us a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Holly, we've reached one of my favorite parts of the show where I'm going to ask you 5 quick questions and get you to come back with 5 quick answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
It's Warren Buffett. It really is. His success has come mostly from his confidence in his own skills and his own ability and his refusal to follow what the crowd does. And that really speaks to me. I'm kind of the black sheep of the family. I don't like to be told what to do, and I don't like to follow the crowd. So he's managed to stay pretty humble and very, very patient, even though he's had all of this success. So I love that about him.
And he's got quite a strong focus on real estate, hasn't he?
He does. He does. He has his own apartment locator. So I'm following in really large footsteps.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Holly, what is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
So there's two. I can't think of just one, but I mentor once a week, and I actually just take three phone calls back to back from it's two guys that are going into real estate and one guy that's just an entrepreneur overall. And just hearing their enthusiasm, being able to guide their process as they set up all of their marketing and their reputation, it's just so much fun, and it's super inspiring to see what's going to come out of that and celebrate their successes with them. And then I'm on the executive committee for Team and Training. It's a division of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So we train people for endurance events and raise money for blood cancer research. So triathlons, marathons, century rides, all of that. So actually right now I'm training for my first century ride. I've already completed the triathlon and the marathon. So I've got a 100-mile bike ride coming up.
Wow. And where does that start and finish?
This one's going to be in Jamestown, which is in like a Virginia Beach area. I'm a little nervous, actually. I have to go have to buy a bicycle tomorrow because I didn't even own one.
And what was the name of the organization that you're working with there?
It's Team in Training.
Team in Training.
Yeah, and they're just a division of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Well, endurance sport is a little bit of a hobby of mine as well, Holly. So, look, I'll try and link that up in the show notes and rally some support behind you there. I'm a big fan of Ironman. Holly, what is your favorite business book that you've ever read and why?
I don't know if you've heard of Rework.
I haven't.
It's amazing. Most books written about business are, you know, write a business plan, study your competition. Not this one. These guys take the exact opposite. A lot of their advice would almost feel counterintuitive if it wasn't so right. They're very much about, you know, start a business, not a startup. You know, you're not building a business to have an exit plan. You're building a business to establish and make money, you know, overall. But, you know, they talk a lot about being productive, ignoring your competition and just doing what's right and what's going to get you where you need to go. And again, I embrace that kind of don't follow the crowd, do what's going to be right.
Fantastic. Who wrote the book?
Jason Fried and David Hein. I'm going to murder his name, but I believe it's Heinmeier.
Okay. Fantastic. We'll get that linked up in the show notes as well. Sure. It sounds like a great read.
It's awesome. It's very direct, very to the point, very fast read. Some of the chapters are only a page long.
Fantastic. Yeah. Holly, what is your favorite technology or online resource that you use daily to help you run a bit of business?
My absolute favorite is Buffer App. For those who aren't familiar with it, you can schedule all of your posts from Twitter to Facebook to Google+. In one location, which I think is amazing. It actually, there's a plugin. So as you're reading an article, if it's something you want to schedule or tweet, you can just, you know, click a button and it will get dropped into your schedule. So it's a very easy way to schedule all of your content. You can be timely and relevant without actually having to be online at any given time.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, actually, our discovery of the week this week, Holly, is another plugin that I think goes really well with Buffer, and it's called Snipply. Have you heard of Snipply?
Yes.
Do you like Snipply?
I do.
Yes. Some of our clients are using that is exactly like you described. So they're reading through articles that their audience would find interesting. So whether it's real estate related or something to do with their local community, and you go ahead, Holly. Why don't you explain for our listeners what Snipply does?
If I remember correctly, because I have about six plugins on my laptop right now. Snipply will shorten the link, right? Is that the one?
Yeah. So it'll shorten the link, and then you can post another link. It's like a sponsored post, right, for your own blog articles or something else you've posted. So essentially what you're doing is you are on someone's website and you want to share their article or that news content on your social media profiles. So you would go ahead and click the Snipply plugin, and what that will do is shorten the link, and then you can overlay your content on that page as well and then share that via Buffer. So it's like a two-step process, but essentially what you will have is when someone opens the article is they will be able to read the article quite openly and freely, but down the bottom of the screen is a call to action for your content. So it's like you're paying for an ad on their website without paying for an ad. It's really cool stuff.
Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we've killed two birds with one stone there, Holly. That's It's often said, Holly, that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. But if you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
This is going to sound extremely counterintuitive, but I would say stop competing. When you're competing, you're focused on your opponent instead of your customer. Then there's enough customers out there for all of us to be successful. And I think the other thing is when you're expending all this energy trying to force someone else to lose so that you can win, you're again losing complete focus of a customer experience that should be incredible. If you turn it around and keep it all about focusing on your customer and their experience from start to finish, they're going to be so happy. They're going to be your evangelist. They're going to be your referral source, and you're going to win.
So listeners, what I take out of that is stop competing and really make everything that you do on your social media profiles, stop talking about you and start talking about your customers.
Absolutely.
Well, Holly, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote, and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
My favorite success quote. So Richard Branson said, "Screw it, just do it." And I kind of apply that to everything. Again, if there's something you're just doubting or questioning whether or not you're capable of doing it, just do it. Like, the worst that's going to happen is you're going to fail and you're going to learn something out of that process.
Mm-hmm. And I think just taking from everything you've said today, Holly, a lot of people listening would, one, they probably wouldn't have even thought about taking to social media the way you've done, or two, they're too scared about social media at all, so they just don't get involved. But screw it, just do it.
Exactly. If I can shameless plug, and you can totally cut this if you want, we do have a weekly Twitter chat on Tuesdays. I think it's in the middle of the night for you all, but it's noon Eastern Standard Time on every Tuesday, and it's just a hashtag apartment chat, APT chat. And we just cover everything from social media to customer experience, user experience, different advertising sources. So we're always there just to help each other, you know.
Cool. No, we'll get that up in the show notes, and we won't cut that out, Holly. We'll make sure we get that included in there. Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Holly has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Holly Beckman, spelt HOLLIBECKMAN. Well, Holly, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. I know that people are going to really enjoy the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about your business?
Sure. We are online on Instagram and on Twitter at Apartmentalist and at Apartmenty. And then HollyB@Apartmenty.com if you want a private conversation. I'm always there.
Holly, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews. So please head over to iTunes right now and let us know how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we could improve, because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.